remember our Lord.
Part of that remembrance is not just his death, but his resurrection. God has called us to assemble on the first day of the week, the day of his resurrection. But what value does Christ's resurrection have for us? And what hope do we find in his resurrection? That's what we want to look at this morning as we think about the value and hope of the resurrection. We do that by looking at a different question. And that is this question that we find in 1 Corinthians. What if there is no resurrection? And Paul argues logically against this in 1 Corinthians 15. There is the question there of, well, maybe there isn't a resurrection. Maybe that all that we have is just this life. And Paul argues that if that is the case, if there is nothing else after this life, then there are certain things that must be true then. And he says that those truths are then that Christ has not been raised. And he goes on and says, if that's the case, if there's no resurrection, then our preaching is vain. It's worthless. It's of no value. He goes further then and says, your faith is vain. Because you're believing a lie. It's worthless. He would even go on further and say that the apostles then would be liars because they falsely witnessed or they falsely testified even against God that God had done something that he had not done, that he did not raise his son from the dead if there is no resurrection. What are the implications then of this if there is no resurrection? Well, if there's no principle of resurrection, if all we have is just this life, then Jesus did not rise from the dead. And if it is then that Jesus did not rise from the dead, then death has power over him and defeated him. And if death has power over him and defeated Jesus, then he is not God. Think about that for just a moment. God is the source of life. But Jesus is still under the power of death if there is no resurrection. No matter how many signs he did, no matter how many people he healed, if he didn't overcome death, then he is not God in the flesh. Think of the things that he said. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. He said in the book of Mark, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. Those are his words. And if he didn't rise from the dead, he's a liar. God is not a liar, and so he is not God. Think about the implications for us. That if Jesus is not God, he cannot offer a complete sacrifice for sin. That whole plan that God had put forth, that there would be his son, the one to come and stop the sacrifices because he would give the total ultimate sacrifice. Jesus didn't do that. And if that's the case, if Jesus cannot offer a complete sacrifice for sins, our sins are not paid before God. And if our sins are not paid for before God, then we are still in our sins with no hope of a relationship with God. We're still separated because of our sin. If there is no resurrection, our faith is worthless. It's of no value to us. Why would we believe in this one who said he was going to do all of these things, and yet he's a liar? You see, if Jesus is not risen, he is unable to save man from his sins. And if there is no resurrection, if this is all the life that we have, Paul would go on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, he would say, those who have died in Christ, they're gone forever. And he would say then, the whole Christian life is a pitiful joke if there is no resurrection. It would just be, well, why not just live the way you want to live? Why live the way that Paul lived? Why suffer the way that Paul suffered? He says, if there is no resurrection, I'm a pitiful fool. But that's not the case. Because in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul would write, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. I want you to consider for just a moment all that rests on the resurrection. What is, and in, as we look at that, what we see then is the value that the resurrection means to us. Jesus' divinity rests on his resurrection. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. If he wasn't raised from the dead, he's not the Son of God. As it says here, he was raised with power by the resurrection. That is how he was declared the Son of God. But if he was never raised, then that's not true. The sovereignty of Jesus rests in his resurrection. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 9, it says, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. If he's still in the grave, he can't be Lord. He can't be Lord of the dead and of the living. He can't be the reigning sovereign king. So his sovereignty is tied to his resurrection. But for us, our justification rests in his resurrection. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, there it says, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. My sins put him on the cross. Your sins put him on the cross. But he was raised from the dead so that we could be made right with God. And if he wasn't raised, we're still in our sins. We haven't been made right with God. Our regeneration is tied and rests upon his resurrection. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's no rebirth if there is no resurrection. There's no living hope that we are brought to if there is no resurrection. So we don't have a new heart. We don't have anything because we're still in our sins if there is no resurrection. And our ultimate resurrection is tied to Jesus Christ's resurrection. In Romans 8 and verse 11 it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit can't dwell in us if we're still in our sins. The Spirit can't give power to our mortal bodies to be raised if there is no resurrection. The thing that I want us to see here is that the resurrection is extremely valuable to us because it is the thread that ties everything together from the moment that we are reborn to the moment when we will experience eternal glory. All of it is bound up together in resurrection. And if it was not, we'd have nothing. That is the value of Jesus being raised on Sunday. There is also for us a hope of resurrection. And in that hope, there is a promise. I want to read just a short story to you. The 1989 Armenian earthquake needed only 4 minutes to kill 30,000 people. One father refused to believe his son was dead. He raced to the elementary school to save his son. Looking at a mass of stones and rubble, he remembered a promise he made to his child. No matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. Driven by this promise, he dug in the rubble, refusing to quit. Other parents arrived and began sobbing for their children. "It's too late," they told the man. But he continued to dig. 8 hours, 16 hours. Then 38 hours later, he pulled back a boulder and he heard his son's voice. The father called his son's name and the voice answered, "Dad, it's me." Then the boy added these priceless words, "I told the other kids not to worry. If you were alive, you'd save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved too. Because you promised." God has made a promise to us. He's promised that He is going to come back for us. He says there in 1 Corinthians 15, as he has just mentioned, that Christ has been raised from the dead in verse 20. He then says in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming." He will bring his children to the final realization of eternal life. We say, well, how do we know? Because Jesus stands as the proof. He says he's the first fruits. That means there's more to come, that he's not the only one. And he stands there saying, "I am raised, so you will be raised." God has promised us a better life. In the resurrection, we put off that which is corrupted and put on the incorruptible. In 1 Corinthians 15, there in verse 53, it says, "For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" All that we face right now, that pain and that suffering, the emotional sorrows that we feel, the difficulties for some to just even be able to walk, all of that has gone away in the resurrection. Paul would write about this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. He says, "For indeed, while we are in this tent," "while we're in this body, we groan being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life." This isn't real living here. Real living begins in the resurrection. And that's what our Lord has promised to us. A life free of pain and sorrow. But it's even more than that. Because in this hope, there is an expectation. That we have an expectation that we will be with our Lord. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, there it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." John tells us a couple of things here. He tells us our present standing. He says, we know we are children of God. That if we have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we know we are God's children. But he goes on there to say, what we will be, that's cloudy right now. Our future state is not exactly known. We're not given all the details. But he says this. Whatever that state is, this is what we know, is that we will be like Him. God's ultimate goal for our lives is to make us like Jesus. And that will be the fulfillment of that purpose when we are made like Jesus. Why will we be made like Him? And he tells us in that verse. The reason that we will be like Jesus is because we have an expectation that we will see Jesus as He is. In the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, they saw just a fraction of the glory of Jesus. Because their bodies couldn't handle, their physical bodies couldn't handle the glory of the Son of God. But in this resurrection, we have the expectation that we will see Him. Why? Because we will be changed. We will be such that we can handle the glory of God. We'll get to see it because we'll be with Him. Someone once said, heaven is the unhindered, unrestricted presence of our Lord. And this is what we hope for. Our resurrection is what we groan for now. I got this cough that just won't go away. I want to get rid of it. I'm not going to get rid of it, though, probably until the resurrection, because it's going to come back. There's going to be physical ailments that keep coming back. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be emotional pain that keeps coming back in our bodies here. So we groan. We long for that day when He will make us as He is. And all of this, our hope, the value that what we have now, all comes because the Son of God rose from the dead. He did what He said He would do. He defeated Satan and the power of death in His resurrection, and He delivered us from sin. And as the song says, He arose forever with His saints to reign. So as we remember our Lord this morning, along with His death, we celebrate His resurrection now and every resurrection day.